Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano is sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we're also joined by Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News. And a good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning. Good morning. And I was going to say good afternoon, but we're not that late in the day yet.
Give it another
somewhere
hour.
Somewhere in the Atlantic, it's afternoon.
I'm only in my second pot of coffee. Please be forgive me.
Your second pot, huh? How early do you get here? I know Fred gets here like 4. Fred Jackson gets here 4
I usually
in
get
the
here
morning
for 8
something.
O'clock because we have the Today's Issues meeting where we sit down and talk about things. So I usually get here for 8. I like just a few minutes to kind of get in, decompress a little bit, get my thoughts together, and things of that nature.
Fred's here at like 5 or 6.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He gets up, I think, 4 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, you could call 2 people I know from this ministry at around 3 o'clock and probably get an answer. Dan Celia and Fred Jackson.
Well, don't try it with me at 3 o'clock in the morning. You may get an answer, but you're not going to like it.
My last day was glorious.
Yes. All right, Chris. So, by the way, folks, if you obviously are listening, if you would like to watch this program, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues, and you can watch the program. Just to kind of give you a little bit of a heads up, at the bottom of the hour, Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, will be joining us probably for about 15 minutes or so. We try to keep her as long as possible, but she does have other things she's got to do. And then next hour, we're going to have Will Addison on. We're going to talk a little bit about Kanye West. The Addisons kind of follow the entertainment industry a little bit. And I just want to ask Will. I've been hearing that Kanye West may be actually a Christian, and so we're just going to see what he knows. They sometimes keep up with these things on airing the Addisons. So anyway, Chris, what do we got for news to start us off?
I want to begin with continuing coverage of the story we led off the show with yesterday. We mentioned that the Arizona Supreme Court was going to be weighing in on an issue of two artists that were in what I called a Jack Phillips-style situation. Here is the news, the update to the story. Yesterday, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled that the city of Phoenix cannot use a criminal law to force two artists to design and create custom wedding invitations expressing messages that conflict with their core beliefs. So this is a situation very similar to that of Colorado baker Jack Phillips. They were they saw something and said, hey, this would violate my rights. I should have the right to say no, things of that nature. And yesterday, the Arizona Supreme Court ruled in favor of them. I have sound from both of the artists as well as the attorney. Let's begin with this one. Joanna.
And this is, by the way, the attorneys are from where?
Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that. The same people that represent Jack Phillips, by the way. But this right here is going to be Joanna Duca, one of the two artists. And she says the ruling is not just a win for her and her partner, business partner, Brianna Koski, but for everyone. Clip one.
Brianna and I will gladly serve everyone. But we cannot create custom artwork celebrating certain events. And the government should not control those expressive decisions.
Now, going from that, the other lady here, Brianna Koski, says their faith and their artistry are intertwined. Clip two.
We cannot separate our faith from our art. They are deeply interwoven. What we create stems from who we are, and who we are stems from who God is and what He has done for us.
And guys, as I mentioned yesterday, this was a preemptive challenge, pre-enforcement challenge. They were saying that if this ordinance were to go into effect and they were brought up on charges or whatever their correct legal term might be, it would infringe on their First Amendment rights and also violators. We mentioned this on OneNewsNow.com. Anyone found guilty of violating this ordinance in the city of Phoenix would face fines and even jail time for being found guilty. So
now,
this goes above and beyond.
That was the point we made yesterday, that as far as I know, this is the first time one of these non-discrimination laws in a city or state involve criminal charges. I know we're going to get to the ADF attorney, but Walker, this is something that we've been warning people about, is this slide. I almost hate, using the expression
Slippery slope.
Slippery slope. Thank you. It's so commonly used, I couldn't remember it. You hate to use the, they're sometimes overused.
Yeah.
But this was one of those things where we said, look, folks, they're going to start here with civil fines, but like in other countries, like mm-hmm. in Canada, mm-hmm. like in the UK, it can sometimes turn criminal. And this was the first time I remember this
yeah.
happening. And, boy, you talk about chilling free speech and religious exercise of yeah. Liberty. This was pretty stunning.
Yeah, the political left wants full capitulation on their agenda. That means everyone's on board. If you're not on board, then you're against it, even if you're so-called neutral. And they've shown that they're willing to do this however, whether it be civil fines or civil penalties like Baronel Stutzman fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines and attorney fees you have to pay to defend yourself to such an extent you have to shut down your business. Or in this Phoenix case, even potentially jail time in mm-hmm. certain instances. But this is a huge win, and I really hope that the city attorneys appeal this, because we could get a win at not only a circuit court, a federal circuit mm-hmm. court. I'm not sure what circuit Arizona is in.
Are they in the Ninth Circuit?
They might be.
I think there's 11 states.
They may be in there with Colorado at like.
It could be.
Yeah, I'll check while we're.
But you know, if the city appeals this to a circuit court and it even makes its way to the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. we could get a win that affects the entire country.
Right.
But nonetheless, this is a good court case and a good win.
It looks like. That this is Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. This is Arizona. Yes, is in the Ninth Circuit.
Okay.
Walker, you were talking about there is the Tenth Circuit includes Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico and Wyoming, so right okay. next door.
So they might, if the city appeals, they might lose at the Ninth, but then if the Supreme Court for some reason would pick it up, they may could win there.
Right. And, you know, you use the word win. One of the things that I've noticed from a lot of people on the left, some of which do visit our website and air their two cents down at the bottom of the article, as everybody is free to do, a lot of the criticisms I've seen over people like these artists or Jack Phillips or Baronel is that, you know, they'll say, and I'm paraphrasing, you Christians just want to enforce your will and your ways on us and make us, you know, swallow everything and live by whatever it is that you want to do, things like that. And that brings us to this soundbite here. This is ADF attorney Jonathan Scruggs, who represented these ladies in Phoenix yesterday. And he said that professionals from all walks of life benefit from this ruling. Clip 3.
Today's decision not only protects Joanne and Brianna, but those who disagree with our clients. And this ruling transcends this particular subject matter. It protects atheist musicians from being forced to perform at Easter services. It protects LGBT web designers from being forced to create websites criticizing same-sex marriage. It protects Democratic speech writers from being compelled to write speeches supporting Republican politicians.
So there you have it.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I think most people on the left, and I know this, mm-hmm. I think I'm right on this because I've seen these kind of man-on-the-street type interviews on college campuses where conservatives will go and, in a sense, pretend that they're just talking about, you know, free speech issues, and they'll ask questions like this. Do you think that an atheist, you know, web designer should be forced to design and college kids are always saying, no, absolutely not, should not force them, should not force a, mm-hmm. you know, a lesbian, you know, T-shirt mm-hmm. you know, company business owner to print T-shirts, you know, criticizing same-sex marriage. But then when you get to Christians, they always flip. And you see college kids, I've seen this done 2 or 3 times, you'll see the college kids really struggling to justify yeah. their clear bigotry against Christians after they had just got done saying, yeah, I think we should protect free speech rights mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So what this attorney from Alliance Defending Freedom has done is put this issue in a way that, man, even the most leftist individual will at least have to admit they're carving out an exception for Christians. Everyone else has First Amendment rights
yeah.
except Christians.
And this was the hypocrisy was on display a lot when the when the dress designer late 2016, early 2017, right before the inauguration of Donald Trump, that told Melania Trump that it was a male or female designer, but that they were not going to help in designing Melania Trump's dress.
Right.
And, of course, she could find somebody else mm-hmm. to do the dress, and she did. But it was a point that, and I think that designer had the right to not do the dress if he or she doesn't want to do the business work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our coverage of the Jag Phillips situation, one of the many people that we've interviewed at OneNewsNow.com is a guy named Jeff Hunt, who runs the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University, which is in Lakewood, right down the street from Masterpiece Cake Shop. And we interviewed Jeff because Colorado Christian University had some rallies in support of Jag Phillips and things like that. And Jeff told me one time, listen, we've been turned down by photographers and web developers and things like that because they said, listen, you know, I'm not a Christian. I don't support what you guys are doing. I don't agree with everything, blah, blah, blah. And Jeff was like, okay, you know, we'll go find somebody else. And they did. And he said, I have no problem doing that kind of thing. So it's not just Walker saying mm-hmm. that for those listening. Other people have told us as much at American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. And I think a lot of people at the end of the day are okay with that because everybody should have the right to say, you know what, I would work with you, but I don't really agree with this. I mean, I totally don't have a problem with I don't want an atheist to be forced to promote something for my, church picnic.
Right.
That's not fair to that person.
Yeah, unless they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can.
If they want to take the money, right. That's all their power. I mean, yeah, that's right. Just the marketplace at work. But nonetheless, a positive ruling. We don't always hear these kinds of things, so we wanted to bring it in because this ministry is all about promoting and educating people on things like faith, family, and freedom. And this particular story is exactly that.
And to that point, I want to say that I think it's Brian Fisher who always says this is a winnable war. Mm-hmm. If you don't get in the fight, you can't win.
Right.
Okay, so these two ladies took it upon themselves to challenge a rule that had not yet been applied to them, but might be applied mm-hmm. to them or might be applied to someone else. And a legal organization, a Christian legal organization, the Alliance Defending Freedom, was in existence to take these kinds of cases. So I want to encourage our listeners that you got to get in the fight.
Yeah.
You got to stand up sometimes for what you believe, and there are oftentimes people who can come alongside of you and help you win a victory, not just for yourself, but for other
right.
Christians.
I've heard it said before. I've said it on the show. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it.
Right.
You might as well try.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, what else we got?
Well, our president, he's traveling again today. He was in New Mexico last night, but today he's kicking off a couple of days of visits in the Golden State. The president's going to be speaking at a fundraising luncheon later today in Palo Alto. That's where Stanford is, right?
I think so.
And then also there's a fundraising dinner planned this evening in Beverly Hills. And then tomorrow, as USA Today puts it, he'll woo donors at a breakfast in Los Angeles. This after he was accused of stealing pancakes, but that's another story. And then he's going to be heading.
That, by
to,
the way, that
what
is a story.
That I is think an actual story.
Steve
brought it in.
Steve Jordahl's going to talk about in the next.
So
hour.
Keep it right here, folks. My tag team partner in the fight, Steve Jordahl, will have that for the ready. And then the president's also going to be making an appearance. It looks like tomorrow in San Diego for another fundraising luncheon. Now here's why I bring all this up beyond just where our president is going to be today and why USA Today brings this up to then go into saying this. Trump's California trip comes a week after his administration touched off a furor by confirming it had sent officials to California to look for ways to intervene in the state's growing homeless crisis, which Trump has described as, quote, disgusting and a, quote, disgrace to our country. Everybody finds a way to point out something negative.
Well,
about
I don't
him.
See what's the problem with him sending people to California to figure out how to fix it.
It's a problem.
He's the president of the United States.
It's a huge problem. It's not only a health situation, not only for the homeless, but for the people that have to live and work in those areas. I mean, there's bags of waste on the streets. Mm-hmm. Kids are seeing this stuff. Adults are having to pick it up. A lot of these people, need help. And the Trump administration wants to try to do that. But as we talked about, I think, last week, state officials, including Governor Newsom, were like, no, thank you, Mr. President. We don't need your help. They actually blamed President Trump and his administration for part of the problem in California, saying you cut some funding for housing and federal assistance, things like that, and therefore you're partly to blame for homelessness in California, as if it didn't exist largely before he even ran for president.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing where if you're going to make that argument, then, you know, listen, if they severely and unexpectedly slashed federal housing and the same people that are on the street and are homeless had been living in that federal housing, at least you'd have a political argument right. to make. You say, okay, these are the people that were living there, and your mm-hmm. policy put them out on the street. That's a political argument. I respect that argument. That's one that Democrats and Republicans can have all day long. But unless you can prove that the people who are homeless are the people who are the have been disadvantaged because of those cuts, then don't make the argument. And the fact of the matter is California and the whole West Coast, including Seattle, mm-hmm. I know in Seattle's having huge problems. There was a documentary I watched 2-3 months ago that's not by conservatives, mm-hmm. by people who live there who are saying, listen, the homeless problem's out of control. The whole left coast, West Coast, opened the doors
yeah.
to homeless people. I don't know how homeless people would get to California, but my understanding is their numbers swelled because of that yeah. invitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is just another way to blame the president. If there was such a severe problem in California that the California politicians, who are for the most part Democrat, were overwhelmed and the president refused to help or didn't offer help, he'd be criticized for that.
Right.
But now that he offers the help, they mm-hmm. say, we don't need it, and really this is your problem,
yeah.
when it's clearly the socialist policies of California that are causing the issue.
Yeah, the poverty and homeless problem in California is not a new problem. It's been going on for decades, and it's driven primarily by their policies. Their own policies have not only fostered this environment, but it's actually made it worse. They're like pouring gasoline on the problem with
right.
their high cost of living, mm-hmm. and the high cost of living comes from high taxes.
Yeah.
And so people can't, there is no middle class in California anymore. It's like the middle class, you look at the rest of the country and the middle class makes up actually most of the population. But you look in California, the middle class is shrinking mm-hmm. because the middle class is leaving because they can't afford it. And all that's left is Silicon Valley and the CEOs and elites.
Right. And, you know, I think in Seattle's case, it was either earlier this year or late last year, they tried to put a tax on large companies that are based in Seattle, so Amazon, Starbucks, I think maybe even Microsoft, to try to generate some revenue to do things to combat homelessness. And, you know, I've said it on the show, person accountability is largely missing in America and has been for a while. And it even exists in government, I think, because rather than Republicans and Democrats and LMNOPs and all the other letters after that, rather than getting all together and say, okay, we're here for the people, we're supposed to serve the people, let's get together and find a way to really go after this problem. Instead of doing that, they said, let's just tax all the billionaires. It's not Jeff Bezos' fault that there are homeless people on the street.
Right.
It's not Howard Schultz's right. problem either. Now,
nor Donald Trump.
Right. And and me and you, meanwhile, there are a lot of churches and nonprofits that do things to try to help homeless people. Here in Tupelo, where we live, the Salvation Army does has a shelter. And there are other ministries that help out and things like that.
The government's really not the government is just responsible for creating policies that foster an environment of prosperity. But getting someone to go and get a job is really not even the government's job. Now, if you want to create more jobs, more opportunity, that's mm-hmm. great. But we have a work ethic problem, and that's kind of what you hinted at, where some people just don't want to work, or maybe they're addicted to drugs, substance abuse.
Some of them mm-hmm. have mental illness.
Right. Yes.
And they're out on the street, and that's why you get all kinds of complaints about mm-hmm. them assaulting people and demanding this and that. So it's not a simplistic problem, and government usually tries simplistic answers.
Right.
And you really need the people who are experts on the ground, and that's usually nonprofits and other Christian groups that mm-hmm. have a lot of experience with people. They know a lot of these homeless people by name,
right.
and they have a little bit more insight. So
all right.
All right. What else we got?
I mentioned the president was in New Mexico last night for a rally there, and we have some sound here. This is President Trump. Where's my sheet? This is President Trump. He talked about a number of issues, including him possibly winning New Mexico. He got into gun confiscation efforts and even the whole Brett Kavanaugh kerfuffle involving the New York Times. Clip four.
It's been quite a while since a Republican won this state, but we're going to win the state. I think we're going to win the state easy. Left-wing Democrats want to confiscate your guns and eliminate your God-given right to self-defense. I will never, ever allow them to take away your sacred right to keep and bear arms. We're building the wall, and it's going up, and it's going up for us. Look at what they're doing today to Justice Kavanaugh. Look at what they're doing. New York Times had to put out a major apology, and they had to change their story. I call for the resignation of everybody at the New York Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear story. And while you're at it, the Russian witch hunt hoax, which is just as phony a story. The Times is dead. Long live the New York Times.
He does not shy away from...
That was a responsive crowd. My goodness.
It was. In New Mexico. Which was that last night? It was last night, which is historically a purple state.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been purple. Yeah. I was just surprised. Now, I don't know how big. You have any numbers on the crowd?
I do not. I
don't know how big that venue was. Maybe it was small enough to where it sounded
loud.
Sounded loud, but he draws huge crowds, so I'm guessing it was big enough. That was very responsive, both the cheers and the boos for the New York Times and what they did.
Yeah, I don't know they'll be voting Biden.
12,000 people.
12,000?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know what the population of New Mexico is, but that's a good crowd anywhere, and he just draws good crowds, and as the race heats up, that's going to his crowds are going to, balloon to 20 and 30,000.
I'm sorry, that was New Hampshire numbers from a while back. Anyway, I'll look around, see if we can find the
it doesn't matter. I mean, it was I was just curious because of the sound.
If he draws a crowd, and I know these are wealthy donors in a lot of these areas I mentioned, Palo Alto and Beverly Hills, but if he draws a crowd in California, that'll be newsworthy.
Well, I think he will, because I know California is far left, and they're run by the majority of Democrats, but there's pockets of conservatism and a lot of conservative money,
right?
And that's why he's going there.
I'm interested to see what the response is in San Diego, because then you get near the border. It's not Beverly Hills. It's not Orange County, which even Orange County has kind of gone liberal in recent weeks. We'll see. People often write off California, but as we have heard from Californians on AFR programs, not just this one, there are conservatives there, or maybe even just centrists, that do still see a need for limited government, free speech, and things of that nature. So I would suggest that you take a moment of caution before you just write off the Golden State.
I'm just looking up real just quickly that of those who are registered to vote in California... This is interesting. 43% are registered Democrat, 24% are registered Republican. I thought it would be a higher registered percentage for Democrats, but anyway, that's what Wikipedia says, and as Tim frequently says, you can trust Wikipedia. All right, we're going to take a 2-minute break or so. I'm not even sure how long is this break? 2-3 minutes? All right. Brent Creeley says 3 minutes, our producer. We're going to take a 3-minute break, and when we come back, more of today's issues. And one of our favorites, Sandy Rios, will be joining us right after the break. Please come back.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Over time, interacting with supporters and listeners online and through phone calls and through emails and things of that nature, you begin to grow together. And so I just appreciate being a part of this journey with you all.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, when we go to Israel and we visit the Sea of Galilee, we stay at a hotel right there on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get up every morning that we're there and you're going to say, hey, this is the place where Jesus walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. This is the place where Jesus had much of his ministry, Capernaum and places around there. So it's going to be a wonderful time there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we're going to take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee. That's just a couple of the days that we're in Israel seeing the sites that you've read about your whole life in the Bible. So for more information on this March 12th through the 20th tour, go to the website twholyland.com. Again, March 12th through the 20th, go to the website twholyland.com for all the information.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Free speech is under attack, and that's no laughing matter. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Comedian Shane Gillis told a joke and got fired. Saturday Night Live says Gillis will not join the 45th season of the NBC Late Show. Video clips had surfaced online showing Gillis making comments that SNL said were offensive, hurtful, and unacceptable. Words, by the way, that could describe just about any SNL show. Critics say SNL caved to political correctness, a growing movement in comedy these days. It's so bad, many comedians refuse to do shows on college campuses. The kids are too sensitive. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Larry the Cable Guy. What used to be a joke is now considered sexist, racist, offensive. In 2017, the great Mel Brooks told BBC PC culture is killing comedy. An argument could be made that one of the most dangerous jobs in America is a stand-up comedian. And that's no joke. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. This is Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations, and Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News. Well, most Tuesdays we get the privilege of talking with Sandy Rios, who's AFA Director of Governmental Affairs and probably most famously known amongst our AFR listening audience as being the host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7:05 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Thank you, Ed. It is my privilege. You always say such nice things. You make me feel good. Hey, could I just tell you guys unselfconsciously that today is my husband's birthday. It's also mine. My husband and I have the same birthday, so we are trying to figure out how to celebrate it.
happy birthday to both you and Bruce.
Thank you.
And listen, I've been married for 38 years. I know which questions to ask and which not to ask.
Would you
like to share how old Bruce is or not?
Okay. I'm not going to tell his age either because he's very sensitive.
Oh, yes. I'm sure. You know? He strikes me as a guy who can take care of himself, former FBI guy. I don't think sensitive is the word I'd use to describe him, at least in the way you're implying.
Yeah.
So, well, happy birthday to the both
thank
of you.
Thank you.
I hope you, listen, go out to Wendy's, eat anything on the menu. Don't just go to the dollar side of the menu. Live it up. So
you'd be surprised how close you are to what we're going to do. Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Sandy, it's the simple things in life, right?
That's right.
That's right. Well, it actually is. It really is. I agree with that. You know, we usually celebrate in some way together. Oh, we'll have a party, and we treat everybody instead of the other way. This year we're coming up short a little bit.
Okay.
So we are probably going to go to, like, I don't know, the deli and have something, a sandwich. Yeah.
Well, so usually you're saying for your birthday you treat other people. Well, we need to remember that next year, Walker, when it comes this time of the year. Make sure we're in their neck of the woods on their birthday.
Yeah. Or have an on-air party.
Yeah,
and I pay for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And now listen, I know we're going to get to news because we have you on for some actual stuff we want to talk about. But I have in the past, on Father's Day, when my kids were in college and I think actually one of them was even married, gone out for Father's Day, asked them, you know, hey, they said, where do you want to go? And we went out to a nice, you know, steakhouse, and I wound up footing the whole bill for the whole shebang on Father's Day. And they're all like, hey, happy Father's Day. Glad we could come to this steakhouse.
Yeah. How old were your kids then, though?
Oh, they're college age, and one of them had graduated. So it really
takes them getting out of the house and married before they start thinking, maybe I should pay for my dad's meal.
Yeah, that's right. It takes that. So. All right.
You know, I remember the first time I paid for my dad's meal. I was so proud of myself, I can't even tell you.
Oh, I'll get it, Daddy. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. Uh-huh.
My dad always accused me, and this is the last thing, folks. This is it. My dad used to always accuse me, even when I was married and had children, of out fumbling him at the cash register.
Yeah.
let me reach and get it, you know, and just take too long. And my dad says, let me get it. You out fumbled me at the register. So anyway, all right. Chris, we actually have some things that we wanted to talk to Sandy about. Sandy, something I heard you talking about this morning with Carrie Severino, that's the Kavanaugh character assassination. What do we got for Sandy, Chris?
Well, you know, I was going to ask you, Sandy, what word comes to mind when you take into account what's happened to Brett Kavanaugh in just the last few days?
Oh, slander. Absolute slander.
It is.
You know, President Trump is actually, you know, encouraging him to try suing. Of course, the laws on slander protect slanderers. Public personalities can't really go out. If you're a public person, you really have no rights. And President Trump has talked for years about those laws changing. So I don't know. I mean, it's just probably talk, but he's right. Brett Kavanaugh, if anybody had a reason to sue for slander, it would need to be done to stop this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at Fox News now, a story. This is no surprise, I'm sure, to our listeners, probably, or to you, Sandy, and that is that one of the members of the squad, we know the squad of four, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being probably the most well-known member of the four freshman congresswomen who were elected in 2018. This is Representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. She is planning today, she may have already done it, to introduce a resolution seeking an impeachment inquiry into Supreme Court Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Again, this is a Fox News story. And this is after all this has happened over the weekend with the New York Times having to backtrack on this horrific character assassination attempt of Justice Kavanaugh. These people are shameless.
They are shameless, but what they are doing, they're actually calculated. It's not as stupid as we might think. If you are a leftist and you want to destroy someone, you say these things, and even if they're not true or if they're outrageous, they stick. They stick. The story sticks. I think of all the stories that have the lies, like the Matthew Shepard case. That was a complete fabrication, what actually happened there. So you spin a tale and you say it often enough. I think it was Marx who said, if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. And so they're very calculated because they just want to damage him. And they want to also frighten him so that he will not take a bold stand on the things that he'll be more inclined to take a neutral or less bold stand on these issues that they're so hell-bent in passing, whether it's climate change or abortion or whatever. I think abortion is the first consideration for them. They're also, of course, trying to intimidate future nominees from throwing their hat in the ring, and some that are being considered now, because who wants to go through that? So there's a method to their madness. I mean, they're not going to manage to impeach him. But if a leftist wins the presidency, and conservatives, such as they are, lose the Senate and retake the House, we are going to have it'll be a bloodbath.
Yeah,
it will be probably nothing less than a coup. They'll go after the Attorney General. They'll go after President Trump. They'll go after Brett Kavanaugh. It will be a bloodbath.
Well, and as you mentioned, I think on your show this morning, but I have heard you discuss this before. Others have mentioned this as well. There were several Democrats who actually, I won't say at least implied a threat to the Supreme Court, if not an out and out threat. I think it was in an amicus brief to one of the Supreme Court cases, basically saying if you don't shape up, if you don't quote unquote heal the Supreme Court, we may take measures, and the implication is packing the Supreme Court. In other words, we'll just add members so that your side is diluted. I mean, this is diluted, not diluted, but this is scary stuff that they're implying and threatening.
That was Sheldon Whitehouse who led the charge on that, and it was on a gun rights case. Yeah, they're planning on what? And listen, this will happen if they take power. In 2020, this will happen. They will appoint, they'll decide the Supreme Court, they'll pass it through the various branches of government, and they'll get a law that says the Supreme Court could have 15 judges, and they'll proceed to appoint, you know, six more that are to their liking. And that will mean conservatives, you know, as you just said, Ed, conservatives will have no power anymore. They'll just shake it up and change it. And they'll come after the ones that don't agree with them. They'll destroy them, probably impeach them, just like it's not hard to read the tea leaves here.
Right.
I just don't, I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure Americans really understand. Many of them do. People that listen to our network do understand this. But I don't think many Americans, I think of people who are, you know, where you live who hate President Trump. Oh, look, the choices are pretty stark. They hate President Trump, or they don't like him. They wish he wouldn't tweet. You know, oh, it's kind of icky, and I don't want to get involved. I just want to shake them. They don't realize what a serious situation we're in. I just did an interview, which will air on Friday, with a former soldier, former captain in the military, who's written a book about how much damage Barack Obama did to the American military and how nothing has really changed. And he's talking about the social engineering, how horrible it is and how it's affected readiness. And he's just giving out a clarion call about the president talked yesterday about the strength of our military. And he's right about that. He has been able to oversee rebuilding it, you know, making bullets, getting them back in the guns, repairing the planes. But if we have men and women who do not have a sense of purpose or direction or courage, or are not fragmented by all of these sexual concerns, if we had that, we could win. But if you have people confused and under duress because of the lack of training, all the other reasons that have affected our military during the Obama years, there's not a battle you can win with just hardware and you know, technological advancements. So it's a huge problem, and people have to understand that there's more at stake really in 2020 than there has been in the past.
Right,
Sandy, it's Chris here. I want to go back to something about the situation with the slander or libel case that Kavanaugh may have here, based on how he's been treated and things people have said or printed about him. How concerning is that, given that government would be the one in charge of changing the laws? And if Republicans were to try to bring that up, say, under Mitch McConnell, Democrats are going to be quick to say, well, you're just trying to protect your guy, Brett Kavanaugh. And then Democrats would probably shoot for the moon and try to offer this or include that or whatnot. I mean, is there a concern with government getting involved to try to deal with an issue that needs to be dealt with? I don't know necessarily how to phrase the question.
Well, Chris, I think you've got a very good point. Of course, laws have to be made by Congress. That's the whole point of laws. So if that law is going to change, that affects the ability for public persons to sue, and under what circumstances, it has to be done by Congress. But you're absolutely right that if the Democrats say to the Republicans, oh, you're just doing this because it's a partisan act because of Kavanaugh, then we know that Republicans will fold because they have very short-term thinking, or I guess they think it's not going to affect their personal lives. Right now they're pretty comfortable, and so they don't think into the future. It's very short-term thinking, and the Democrats mm-hmm. do. They do. Yeah. And if you're right, if they have a hand on that bill, if they passed a bill like that, it would not be an honest and fair bill. It would give them tremendous advantage in the wrong way. So you've diagnosed it correctly, Chris, except for the part that it is Congress that would have to do that, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, it's Walker. I think one thing that our side, if you will, if that's what you want to call it, conservatives, haven't done a good job at, and that is playing the long game. You know, we seem to take one election at a time. Maybe that's because we're being assaulted from all different angles. But really, if we want to take back this country and fix some of these huge problems we're facing, then we're talking like 20, 30, 40 years of control to really put a dent in what the left has done over the – that's how long it's taken the left to get their agenda done.
Yeah, actually longer than that, Walker. They've been at this for decades. Mm-hmm. They call it the long march through the institutions. And what they've done is through planning and carefully calculating, they have taken over control of all the professional organizations, whether it's the National the Bar Association, the National Education Association, the various doctor associations. The left made a concerted effort to go in there and run for board and get themselves on the board. And a long time ago, the board decisions, the professional organization decisions, there was a great chasm between them and the actual, for instance, doctors or the actual, for instance, attorneys. Now I think the culture is moving to the left, so there's less of a difference, but that's how they changed it. They took charge of the professional organizations. But it's not just that. I mean, they have a plan for everything. It's the military. It's the Supreme Court now. It is your neighborhood and my neighborhood. It is red states. It is, I mean, there's no end to their plans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing of it is, Walker, I think two things. As Christians, I'll speak specifically to Christians for a minute, we don't think that way because we trust God. We believe in a God. And we believe in his sovereignty. And by that, I mean, we don't believe we have to calculate and plan and scheme every moment of our lives. We also believe that when we breathe our last breath, there's another life. That makes a tremendous difference in how we live. The left doesn't believe that. They don't believe in a God. The hard left doesn't believe in a God. And they think this world is all there is. And they have to go for the gusto, and they have to manipulate and push and pull and strive for every dollar they make, for every advantage they have. They have to scheme because they don't have God in their lives or his power, which is actually very sad. So that's our defense, the defense that I have for us not doing what they do. But of course, we've gotten smarter, and Jesus said we need to be harmless as doves and help me, wise as owls and harmless as doves. And so
wise as serpents.
Serpents, sorry, yes. Thank you.
Well, but thank although you. I don't take anything away from owls, they are wise as well.
I'm rewriting scripture this morning. I didn't mean to. But but he's telling us to be smart. Be smart. Hmm. And I know that because I'm part of some of this, there are groups thinking differently. Like we're going to have to think differently. We're going to have to make some plans. That doesn't mean we don't trust God, but we're going to be just like a military getting ready for battle, for heaven's sake. You've got to get your armor ready. You've got to get your weapons ready because it's getting serious. So some people are trying to rectify that, some of the great thinkers on the right, but it's going to take a long time because they've been at it for decades.
Well, and I'll just say this, and then we'll let you make any final comments and let you go, but you know, in sports, there's an old saying that the best defense is a good offense, and that is the way revolutionaries think. They believe in pushing their cause. If you're living in in the status quo and you have a constitution and you expect that everyone's going to play by the rules and we'll all just live our lives, we can debate these issues, but we all play on the same field under the same rules, you're not going to be thinking about, well, how do we overturn this? How do we overturn that? But these revolutionaries, you said, the hard left, my belief is that this is Marxist at its heart. It is certainly Darwinian evolution and atheism at its core. And Marxists think offense because they have something they want to overthrow. The rest of us are living with the expectation that it's going to continue on and everyone's going to play by the rules. And Marxists don't think that way. They'll break the rules because ultimately they're going to change the rules. And that's the way they think. And to your point, Sandy, a lot of times on the conservative side, we just live our lives and expect everyone to play fair. And that's just not the way the left does it.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, and it reminds me very much of a special I saw on Netflix that I want to commend to people. It's called Red Terror. Joseph Stalin, Red Terror. And one part of the movie is, he was the great dictator of the Soviet Union that killed millions of his people, but it would be very instructive to watch it now. It talks about how he made that transition from like a person working on the inside trying to transform Russia to a person who finally understood that he needed to do it through violence.
Right.
The intellectual decision he made and how he started perpetrating violence, and that intimidated people, and that's when they began to really gain power. And I think, honestly, I really do think we're on the edge of that. We are seeing the intimidation of the left. It's almost like the RICO. It's like racketeering, where they, right, the way they threaten, like what they're threatening today to reveal the names of people that are supporting President Trump at a fundraiser in California.
Right.
That's racketeering, really. That's the RICO violation. But it's becoming very thuggish. And I don't think there's a big, very, very thick line between that and violence. I really don't. We just have to be smart and be prepared. And I don't want to scare people, but I do want to, in a sense of a warning.
Yeah,
we need to be prepared and smarter than we are. So that Red Terror is just excellent on Netflix.
That sounds excellent. All right, so Red Terror, it's about Joseph Stalin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to check that out myself.
It has real archival footage of him. It's really amazing. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, folks, remember, you heard it here from Sandy Rios, be wise as owls and innocent as doves. Which a lot of times wind up as owl's meal.
Right.
So, all right, Sandy, I couldn't. You left it out there. I couldn't help but give it.
I love it.
Give
that's
that good thread a tug.
That's
so
very
anyway,
good.
A happy birthday to you and Bruce again, and thank you so much for being on with us, folks. Check in with Sandy Rios in the morning. Heard on AFR Talk each weekday morning from 7:05 to 8 a.m. Central Time. Thank you, Sandy.
Very good. My pleasure. See you guys. Bye.
Okay. All right, Chris, we're 7 minutes or so, 7.5 minutes from the top of the hour break. What else you got?
Well, let's talk gun confiscation a minute. I mentioned it a little bit because the president had spoke on it last night.
And we heard that part of the clip
as
well.
Yes. Beto O'Rourke, one of the people that wants to be president, he has said and continues to claim that he's heard from people in Texas that own AR-15s and AK-47s and all kinds of guns that say, by all means, take our guns. One person that begs to differ is Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And speaking on Fox today, Attorney General Paxton said the plan is not playing well in Texas and gives some alternatives to gun confiscation. Clip 5.
Even from those Texans who own AR-15s, they've told me this themselves. I don't need this. I don't need it to hunt. I don't need it to protect myself. It was fun to use. I like taking it out to the range. But if giving this back or cutting it to pieces or selling it to the government helps to keep us safer, then by all means, let's do it.
It's certainly a comment that I think most Texans would not react well to and haven't reacted well to. Maybe it plays some nationally in states that he's trying to win, but it certainly doesn't play well in Texas. You know, I think we need to do a better job securing our schools, our businesses, our churches. People need to be better prepared. We need more law enforcement involved in protecting those different aspects of our society. Nothing's going to work perfectly, but there's certainly things that we can do to protect our citizens better.
Now, Beto O'Rourke has taken some criticism, saying you're really only doing this because you're super behind in the polls and you're trying to do something to continue to get your name in the headlines. But Beto, he's not the only candidate for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination to talk about guns. Kamala Harris, the senator from California, She says that she supports a mandatory buyback on what she describes as assault weapons. But as I had mentioned this morning in the meeting, I'm not necessarily sure how you can even set like a dollar figure on a mandatory buyback, given the different prices for guns. But even then, I've noticed on Twitter that a lot of gun rights people are saying it's the same thing as confiscation.
It is, yeah. The what makes it confiscation is it's mandatory.
Oh,
it's okay. Not right. A voluntary buyback, because if you notice, they don't say a voluntary buyback program, because you may have some people turn their gun in, but the vast majority of gun owners are just going to keep their gun.
Well, that's because that's why they bought it in the first place.
Right.
They wanted it.
Yes. So it's mandatory, which means if you don't comply, guess what? The sheriff comes knocking on your door and says, hey, Mr. Wildman, you have three guns registered under your name. The federal government has this mandatory. Well, this would never happen. The Supreme Court would strike this down 9-0. Ginsburg, Sotomayor, all the far lefties would vote against this plan. It's so blatantly unconstitutional. It would lose 9-0 at the Supreme Court any day of the week, I believe. But hypothetically, if it went into practice, went into play, that's what would happen. Mandatory buyback means if you don't do it, then they come knocking. And they say, looks like you have a... This is why they want universal background checks, because in order to confiscate everybody's guns, you got to know who all has them.
Mm.
So they come and say, Mr. Wildman, looks like you have three guns, an AR-15, a pistol, and a shotgun. Where are they? And then they take them up
right.
And drive off. And now, I don't think that would ever happen. We're a long ways out. But that's what it would look like in practice.
Okay.
But it does show you
yeah.
what O'Rourke and some of these others are, where their minds are going.
Yes.
And this is why they are so far to the left that even I think some in the Democratic Party are concerned about electability once it comes to the general election.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, we got a couple of minutes. You
yep.
got something you can shoehorn in here?
The state of California, according to Attorney General Javier Becerra, state employees, state officials, they're no longer allowed to travel on the state's dime to Iowa. And you're kind of thinking, what's up with this? Was the food at the fair not very good? No. Javier Becerra does not like that Iowa is now not allowing for things like sexual orientation and gender identity as a civil right. Basically, there is a law that has been enacted in the state of California in recent months or years that says if a state government beyond California's jurisdiction does some things that we don't like involving someone's civil rights— we're not going to allow state officials to travel there for state visits or state-sponsored travel, things like that. The other states already on this list are Mississippi, Texas, where Attorney General Ken Paxton serves, and also North Carolina, where the bathroom bill continues to be talked about and continues to make headlines. Can you guys imagine, and I don't believe this would ever happen, but can you imagine if the governor of a Mississippi or a Texas were to say, you know what? You guys are all liberals over there in California. Crazy California. We're not going to allow our people to travel over there. People would be eviscerated in the media if a Republican were to say something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the fourth state that California has put on their registry. Listen, what happens if they get up to 40 states?
Yeah.
They're going to. We talked about this in the story meeting. Liberals don't want the president to ban travel to the United States from countries that are hotbeds of terrorism. Liberals are against those kind of bans, but then you have these state officials from liberal states who want to ban travel to actual states mm-hmm. in this country over issues like this. It's
Californians,
it's bizarro
don't like
world.
Iowans. Californians.
Bizarro world. So anyway, I'm sure football teams will get waivers.
Oh, sure.
If they have to go to Iowa to play. Mm-hmm. I think actually you mentioned there was a
I believe Cal is coming over here for a game against Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, all right. So we'll see whether that is allowed. All right, folks. Chris, thank you so much
for
being with us. We're going to take a five-minute break for news, folks. And when we come back, more of today's issues. You don't want to miss what's coming after the break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.